Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad that his blood was shed for you and me? Amen. I don't know about you, but I know that there's nothing like the blood of Jesus to cover us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to give us a new beginning. Today is the day where we come aside and we remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. It is a time where we reflect. And you may be asking, why do we do this? It's because God needed our senses to be stimulated with something that we can see, something that we can feel, something that we can hear. It was his desire to constantly keep before us those things that are needed for our salvation. You're right. Therefore, in his grace and his mercy, he allows us to come to what is called the Lord's Supper. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, the word of God makes it plain, and beginning with verse 14, it says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And the word of God says in verse 17, "And he took the cup, and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of God, the Son of Man, goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And then the Bible says, in verse 23, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." Today our thought is entitled, "In Remembrance of Me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful and blessed and grateful that we can come once again to the Lord's Supper. You have kept us this past week, and we recognize there are so many who did not make it. But Lord, because of your grace and your mercy, your goodness and your compassion, you've allowed us to see another Sabbath. And not only another Sabbath, but Lord, a Sabbath where we can come aside and remember how you died for us, how you gave yourself on a cross. Thank you, Father, for your blood that was spilled that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now we ask that you would speak to our hearts as we contemplate, as we meditate, as we think on these things. Take us to Calvary. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There was a young man, he was in a seminary, and he had just gotten called out to pastor, and he left the seminary, but he had a problem because he was plagued with some type of sin or some type of misstep that he had made years ago, and he was complaining in his mind to others about, what should I do? And finally, he went to a preacher, and the preacher said, you talk to God, you have a relationship with God. He said, years ago, I had committed a sin and I'm troubled by it. It keeps coming to my mind, but I can't put my finger on it. I can't really articulate what it was. I don't know what it is, but you tell me you talk to God and you have a relationship with God. He said to this preacher, and he said, yes, I do. I talk to God quite often. I have time where we spend in the morning and we pray, and I pray to God and God speaks to me. He said, you speak to God? He says, yes, and God speaks to me. He said, well, I need you to do me a huge favor. He said, the next time you talk to God, would you please, on my behalf, would you please? He begged the man. He said, would you please? I mean, seriously, he said, I've been troubled and I've been plagued with something that won't give me peace, and I'm bothered by it, and I don't have peace in my mind and peace in my heart. And oh, how we all long to have peace with God. Oh, how we long to have peace with ourselves, where the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. But this man said, I'm troubled. I need to deal with it. And so the preacher said, I'll talk to God and I'll get back with you. He said, I appreciate it, man, because I need some peace. And as human beings, it's nothing like having peace. The Bible says sin makes us run when nobody chases us. The Word of God says it's like a troubled sea tossed back and forth with no peace. But today we have gathered today because God has offered us peace. He's offered us a joy. He's offered us a compassion and a love that we can't even imagine, nor can we comprehend. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, it is God's way of extending grace. How do I know that? Because when you talk about someone who is about to betray Jesus, someone who is about to turn his back on his Savior, God gave him grace. In fact, I know you're asking about that preacher and that young man that was troubled, and I'll tell you about him in just a moment. But I want to talk to you about someone who actually betrayed Jesus and how Jesus dealt with him. My wife and I was talking about this, and she was sharing with me the thought, and we were talking about how God had given him the opportunity to walk in the light. And the Word of God says that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men and women have chosen darkness rather than light. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity to actually walk in the light of God's presence. It's actually an invitation, but it says Judas, the betrayer, was present at the sacramental service. He was there. And he received from Jesus the emblems of his broken body and his spilled blood. He heard the words, "This do in remembrance of me." And sitting there in the very presence of the Lamb of God, the betrayer brooded upon his own dark purposes. You know, every time we come to a service, there are things on our mind and things in our heart, and God knows, and that's the grace of God, that in spite of knowing us, he still allows us to worship. In spite of knowing us, he allows us to pray. In spite of knowing us, he allows us to sing. In spite of knowing us, he keeps on allowing us to take that next breath. That is the grace and the mercy of God. He knows me through and through. He remembers I'm dust, but I'm so glad when I read this, it says, and sitting there in the very presence of the Lamb of God, the betrayer, he brooded upon his own dark purposes and cherished his sullen, revengeful thoughts. He sat on it. He wouldn't let go. You know, the Holy Spirit will work with us. He will woo us. He will try to move upon our hearts so that we can respond to God in a special way. But he wouldn't let go. I'm quoting. It says, at the feet washing, Christ had given convincing proof that he understood the character of Judas. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there may be people who don't know you, and there may be people who only know about you. That's a reputation. But I want you to know today, God knows you through and through. He knows your character. He knows your nature. He knows the very thoughts you think before you think those thoughts. He knows the thoughts you're going to think by not trying to think the thought. That's God. I know he's omniscient. He's God all by himself. He's a wonderful God. He's an awesome Savior. But notice, as I'm reading this, it says that this was convincing proof. He said this, "You are not all clean." And he said these words. He convinced the false disciple that Christ read the secret purpose. Now, Christ spoke out more plainly. As they were seated at the table, he said, looking upon his disciples, "I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And it says, even now the disciples did not suspect Judas, but they saw that Christ appeared greatly troubled in his spirit. He saw that he was troubled. A cloud settled over them all, a premonition of some dreadful calamity, the nature of which they did not understand. As they ate in silence, Jesus said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. At these words, amazement and consternation seized them. And they couldn't believe it. They could not comprehend how any one of them could deal treacherously with their divine teacher. And I even think about my own life. How could I turn my back on Jesus? After all the bountiful blessings of life, after all the provisions, the food, sustaining, the shelter, the life, how could anyone literally turn their eyes away from the Master? For this, for what cause could they betray him? And to whom, whose heart could give birth to such a design? Surely not one of the favorite 12 who had been privileged above all others to hear his teachings. Think about how many blessings God has extended to you and me. Think about how many times you thought it was over, but God made a way out of no way. Think how many times he opened up a door that no man can close, and he closed doors that no man can open. Just reflect on the mercy and the compassion and the goodness of God. It ought to lead you to say, to God be the glory. God is worthy. And that's what Jesus was trying to do. Every time we come to church, every time a service like this, he's extending grace, he's extending mercy, and it is the heart of the believer that must respond. In fact, it says, they ask, who is it, I? Is it I? And Jesus finally, in his own words, in surprise and confusion at the exposure of his purpose, when Judas was told by Jesus, what thou doest, do quickly, Judas rose hastily to leave the room. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately. And the Bible says it was night. Night it was to the traitor who had turned away from Christ into outer darkness. But brothers and sisters, when we turn away from Christ, there's no other options. That there's no other way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. When we get this opportunity to come to Jesus, when we get the opportunity to know him for ourselves and walk away from it, then we will not experience the grace of God. But the good news is this. Listen, until this step was taken, Judas had not passed beyond the possibility of repentance. While he was there, he could have said, yes, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. He could have confessed, Lord, I'm confessing my sins. It's me, and it's me that stands in the need of prayer. But when he left the presence of his Lord and his fellow disciples, the final decision had been made. He had passed the boundary line. And that's something that none of us want to ever do. We don't want to pass the boundary line of God's grace. We don't want to walk out of God's grace, because as he said, do you remember what that temptation, that sin that I committed, as he said to that preacher? And he said, he came back to that guy and he said, yes, yes. He said, I talked to God last night. And you know what God told me when he came back to that young man that I told you earlier? When he came back to him, he says, yes. You asked me to go to God and ask God about that sin that you had committed. You asked me to go to God. I did. I prayed all night and I labored. And God told me through prayer and through the scripture what it was. And he said, please tell me. And the man simply said to him, preacher, he said, God told me to tell you, I forgot. Oh, I know, I know, I know it might seem too easy. But as far as the east is from the west, when we sin against God, he separates our sins from us. He says, if we are willing to confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we come to the communion service, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming because Christ has given us an invitation. And I want you to know that there's nothing too big or hard for God. The communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not his purpose. As the Lord's disciples gathered together, they are not to remember the lament, their shortcomings. I know we've all sinned. And when you look back over the Rolodex of your past, you think about some of the things you have done, it makes you weep. I don't know about you, but when I think about some of the dumb stuff, I mean terribly dumb, stupid stuff. I mean some stuff, I know I'm talking to me, but I'm talking about stuff that I don't even want my own mother to know about. Stuff I don't want my own father, my brother, my stuff that I've done that only God can deal with, because if I told you, you probably turn your back on me. No, I'm not you, might somebody else. But I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about the mercy of God. He keeps on loving us in spite of us. He keeps on blessing us. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, we're not to lament the shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience. Whether they are to elevate, whether your experience have been elevating or depressing, it doesn't matter. You ought to come and just thank God that you breathe. Take one breath in and breathe out. That was grace of God. That wasn't vitamins. That wasn't a 2-mile walk. That was the grace of God. And so when we come here, we ought to praise God for his blessings. They are not to recall the differences. They are not to go back over these things. They are to come and meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in his saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. In other words, we have the privilege right now, in spite of what you did yesterday, last night, this morning, in spite of what you've done last week, you can open up your heart to God, and the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness will shine into our hearts with hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood in full consciousness of his presence. Although unseen, they are to hear the words, peace, peace, peace. Like he stood on that troubled sea and stood up on that boat and said, peace be still. He speaks to the soul, peace. Whatever is troubling you, financial, as he's saying earlier, whatever is troubling you, marriage, whatever is troubling you, my God stands up and says, peace. Peace I give unto you, and not as unto the world giveth, but I give unto you peace. And the question today is, do we want that peace? And all we've got to do is say, yes, God. The communion service, this service, as we prepare today to receive these emblems, the communion service points to Christ's second coming. One day he's coming back. One day Jesus is coming back. They tell me he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, he's coming back to claim his children. And all of those who made a covenant with him by sacrifice. I mean, yes, you had to give up some things. Yes, you had to go through hell and high water. Yes, you had to be tested and tried. Yes, you went through some things that only you can't even imagine. But the Bible says that when you are tried and tested, you'll come out like pure gold. And when he comes back, I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. In other words, God says this glory that he's going to give to us cannot be compared to what you're going through. And what you're experiencing right now is only for a moment. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, the communion service, it points to the second coming of Christ. In fact, it was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. And whenever they met together to commemorate his death, they are to recount how he took the cup. How he took the cup. Can you imagine? He climbed Golgotha's hill, Calvary. He took the cup. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails. The bones and the flesh was pulled out of his skin. And they put a crown of thorns on his head, and blood came oozing down. And they beat him and whipped him. And every time they were to take the cup, they were to remember how he died on Calvary. How he died for them. These are the things we are never to forget. The love of Jesus, with its constraining power, is to be kept fresh in our memory. Today, no matter what you've gone through, I'm so glad that the blood is still available. And I heard someone say the blood still works. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us, to wash us, to purge us, to restore into us the joy of salvation. I don't know about you, but David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. He says, take me back to my first love. As we close with this thought, it says the ordinances that points to our Lord's humiliation and suffering are regarded too much as a form. They were instituted for a purpose. Our senses need to be quickened to lay hold of the mystery of godliness. It is a privilege of all to comprehend far more than we do the sufferings of Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whosoever, I like that, you qualified, whosoever, black, white, doesn't matter, whosoever, nationality, tribe, kindred, tongue, whosoever. John the Revelator said he preached the gospel to all the world. I saw angels flying in the midst of heaven saying, whosoever, whoever believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. To the cross of Calvary, bearing a dying Savior, we must look. That's all you got to do is look. Moses was in the wilderness and people were dying. Moses took a serpent and put it on a pole. And all they had to do was look. That's all. All they had to do was look. That's all. He didn't ask them to get their life right. He didn't ask them to cleanse themselves. He didn't ask them to pray. No, he said, just look. All they had to do was lift their heads and look to this serpent. And once they look, the Bible says the plague was stayed. And whatever you're going through right now, look to Calvary. Look to Jesus. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will purge you and make you whiter than snow. Let us pray. Loving Father, we've come once again to this moment where we have to reflect, contemplate, think about our relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for this service, which is a constant reminder of how much you love us. And all we have to do is confess. You said, come now, let's reason together. If we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. However, if we refuse and rebel, we'll be devoured, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, Father, I thank you for those of us who are saying yes to you even right now. I pray, God, that you'll bless even now these emblems as we come to the Lord's Supper to be reminded again of your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.